Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we are continuing, Trevor, our 2014 NFL redraft. And I think yesterday had some surprises, but I think for the most part, man, we've got a lot of good players that are off the board so far in the 2014 redraft.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that we will give teams some better picks. This draft, though, like we've been going over it, the 2014 draft is pretty loaded.
Right.
We talked about going through those teams there, that run of picks. Caleb Juan, OBJ, Aaron Donald, Fuller, Shazier, Martin, Mosley. Like, there's some really good football players there. And so obviously they're kind of all going off the board around the same time or even earlier. But this draft class was fun. This draft class was really good.
Yeah. Oh, it was loaded. And even I was looking at 2015 for what we're going to do next week. And I was like, man, it wasn't as good as 14, like not even close. I mean, there might've been some position groups that were comparable, but you know, from top to bottom, it was definitely not as good a class and hasn't turned out to be as good a class. You know, a lot of disappointing players in the 2014 class or 15 class. So far, this is what we've done. We've kind of went through and graded each pick for who the teams actually took and how that's panned out. We are, what, 21 picks in. We've given two Fs. We've given an F to Justin Gilbert pick, an F to the Greg Robinson pick by the Rams. We've given one or two Ds. We've given Detroit Lions a D for Eric Ebron and the Jets a D for Calvin Pryor. We've given a couple Cs. Blake Bortles was a C. And only two Cs. Blake Bortles was a C, and Juwan James C for the Dolphins. I think with a good year this year, I could bump James to a B, though. I really think that. So, you know, it's a pretty good group so far, mostly A's and B's. We've given, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 A's so far. So, I mean, it's been mostly a lot of big-time hits for teams across the board. And now we get into a little rough stretch because you're on the clock with the Cleveland Browns. I just picked Brandon Cooks for the Green Bay Packers. You're on the clock with the Cleveland Browns where they selected Johnny Manziel. And I believe they traded back up to do this, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And that did not go swimmingly for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely didn't. I'm looking at the Browns. That's definitely an F. We gave the Browns Zach Martin, didn't we? Right?
We did earlier.
For just a pick. So they've got Zach Martin currently on this roster, and I'm looking at it now, and it's kind of funny. You know, the quarterbacks are Brian Hoyer and Alex Taney. Obviously, they'd love to take a quarterback, but I'd love to give him Bridgewater, but we just don't know about him. The running backs, thought it was funny. Ben Taster starting running back, and then Deion Lewis is actually on this team.
What a waste.
Before he became Patriots Deion Lewis. Josh Gordon is on this team as well, back in 2014, which is crazy. And then their defense, I'm looking over at their defense, and it's just a lot of people that just straight up are not there anymore. They're running a pretty strong 3-4 system, clearly from the depth chart that they have. Joe Hayden's here. He's their lockdown corner, but this is kind of where Joe Hayden, I think, started to decline a little bit. And their other cornerback is Buster Screen. Mm-hmm. They've got Dante Whitner and Tashawn Gibson as the rest of their secondary. And I'm not a big fan of that, but I am a big fan of Bradley Roby still being on the board. And so if I'm the Cleveland Browns in the 3 draft, I'm taking Bradley Roby.
I thought you might go that direction, to be honest. I was looking at this before, and I was like, you know what? I bet he takes Roby for the Browns just because there is no good quarterback left on the board. And it's kind of a reach to go anywhere else right now, I feel like. You know, I mean, other than maybe safety, and we already went interior offensive line, could go wide receiver, I guess. But, you know, I think that Roby finding a corner was super important for the Browns, and they obviously failed to do it early in the draft when they took Gilbert in real life. So in this redraft, man, how would you like to go from Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert in the first round to Zach Martin and Bradley Roby in the first round? Not bad.
Be quite the change.
Yes. Things could have been a little different in Cleveland.
Be quite the change.
That had happened. The Chiefs drafted D Ford. I give this pick a C because Ford had a double-digit sack year and was really effective a year ago, and then this past year was hurt almost the entire year, missed most of the season, and wasn't as effective. Before that, he was mildly effective, but playing as the third rusher, you know, behind Tom Bali and Justin Houston. So I don't feel like he's gotten a ton of opportunity. Like we said, he's a weak run defender, but I think he's a legit pass rusher. I think he's an 8-sack guy every year if he's fully healthy. This could drop lower than a C, I think, if he doesn't play or continues to get hurt. This is a huge year for him, contract year. But, you know, right now I feel like C is fair, don't you?
Yeah, no. For D4? Yeah, totally.
I think C's fair. I mean, we already took him off the board. You gave him to the Cowboys at number 16 because they lost out on Zach Martin because he went earlier in the redraft,
right?
Obviously. So looking at the Chiefs roster, what do they need? Well, a lot of things, actually. Their interior offensive line was terrible, and the wide receiver position was brutal. Their wide receivers were Dwayne Bowe, Donnie Avery, A.J. Jenkins, who they traded for, Junior Hemingway. I mean, and I never heard of the five other guys on the roster here. I mean, it was brutal, dude. They did not have much talent at all to work with in the receiving core. Still, Alex Smith, Jamal Charles, Travis Kelce here. Defensively, they definitely had some needs. Again, a third pass rusher was kind of a need for them, somebody to eventually replace Ali. But I just don't love anybody who's on the board at this point. I think the pass rusher group dried up. I still like Stephon Tuitt and Timmy Jernigan for interior group, but for me, if I'm the Chiefs, given who's on the board here, I'm actually going to give them Sammy Watkins. That wide receiver core is terrible, and now they actually have Sammy Watkins. So it's just a couple years earlier doing it with the redraft. But I just think that Watkins in that offense, you know, a vertical type of threat was really what this team needed for years, and they didn't have, and now they obviously do in Tyreek Hill. But they needed some type of big-time, big-play threat, and they just didn't have it for years. And I know Watkins been kind of banged up, but he's also been crazy productive when he's been on the field for the most part. Last year in L.A., not as productive as I would have liked to see. Early in his career in Buffalo, despite a horrible offense, was the guy and was very, very productive. So I still think Watkins is a wide receiver one in the right situation, but he's got to stay on the field, and this is a big year for him. He's got to prove it that he can still do this thing even after he suffered some injuries. So I'm going Watkins to the Chiefs at number 23.
So the Bengals are up now, and they ended up picking Darquez Dennard. And Dennard had a pretty slow start to his career,
yeah,
but he did pretty well last year, right? I mean, it's taken him a while to kind of get used to the NFL or whatever, get settled in. I don't know what you want to, maybe the opportunities that he had, the chance to have, whatever it is. But I thought it took forever for Dennard to get on the field and really show production. But I think this year, from everything that I read, he actually did pretty good. So, you know, this pick could end up, you know, we have it as a C right now, but this pick could be a pretty good pick in the end. But when I'm looking at their roster before the draft in 2014, the things that stick out the most to me are their safeties right now, or Taylor Mays and Reggie Nelson.
Iloco wasn't
not
there?
Not a fan of that.
Or was Iloco there? Is Iloco
no,
on that roster?
No, he is.
Oh,
he's just a rookie.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he was a second-year player,
okay,
I guess, going into this.
All right. I couldn't remember where he was at.
Right. I think this would have been his second year, so right
that
after his rookie
right
year.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You would know. Do you have their depth chart in front of you?
I didn't pull up their roster because you were picking for them, but what were you going to
Okay,
ask?
Because you know a lot more about interior offensive line than I do.
They were pretty good at this point, I think.
Right, and I don't see any glaring names, and I'm like, oh, this guy's absolutely awful. So
who's their interior offensive line right now in this? I mean, 2014.
Kevin Zettler, Trevor Robinson, Clint Bowling.
Trevor Robinson was their center? They drafted Russell Bodine in this draft. So center is a big need for them. Bodine. He was terrible, but the guards are great. Zietler and Bowling are awesome.
Then I'm going to give him Ha Clinton Dix.
Okay. Give him that single high free safety type.
Yeah.
Little replacement
yeah,
for Reggie.
I'm going to give him Clinton Dix. I think that'd be, you know, especially knowing what we know about Iloka. I think it'd be a good pairing, very good pairing. Because I'm looking at their corners, man, and like even though like you might not like them, they're kind of like deep in the classic Cincinnati Bengals corners. You know, they have Terrence Newman, they have Leon Hall, they have Adam Jones, they have Drake Kirkpatrick. They have a bunch of those guys.
The Dennard pick was surprising, I think, because of that. Because they have like 10 first-round corners.
right.
No, I like that pick. And like you said, Dennard pick, you know, their actual pick, that goes up to a B if he plays like he did this year, but they just, you know, one good year as a part-time player is kind of not enough to really move him past the C for a first round pick. But I think he played really well last year, and I think he's one of the better run defending corners in the league already. He's just terrific in that regard. Man, I watched some tapes of them for this before the Steelers game and then both the Steelers games, and he is so scrappy against the run. I mean, it's the Bengals too. They find ways to keep these young guys from making an impact every year because they're arguably the worst coach team in the league. I mean, who watches Carl Lawson, you know, going for double-digit sacks as a rookie and decides to play him less down the stretch of the season? I mean, it's just mind-boggling, you know. You just have to be completely out of touch with what makes an impact in today's NFL. So I think Denard could definitely move up to at least a B for the Bengals. And I think he will stay on the field pretty heavily next year too. The Chargers took Jason Verrett. I gave this pick a C. And I know you might want to disagree because, I mean, we both love Verrett. But the reality is, man, this guy has just played so little. And I don't think it's a talent C grade. You know, I think he's been fine in terms of being a talent. But, I mean, the amount of time that he spent on the field for the Chargers has been just ridiculously low for a first-rounder. You can't look at him and be anything other than disappointed. I mean, he played 6 games as a rookie. He played 14 in 2015. He started 13 of those games, and that was his best season. You know, I mean, he had 12 passes defense, 3 interceptions. Then the next year he played 4 games, and the next year he played 1 game. I mean, it's just not enough. I mean, this guy has never played a full season. And in 4 years, he's played, what, 25 games in 4 years. That's brutal, man. That's like a year and a half in 4 years. I can't count it as a win. I don't know. Does C seem fair to you?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I hate it, but.
Hate it, too. I wish he was healthy. I wish Shazier was, you know. I mean, he's the top 15 guy in this class still, you know, if he's healthy. But, I mean, that's part of the hindsight thing, right? I mean. I don't know. It's hard to give him anything other than a C. Now, if he balls out this year and somehow it's just hard to believe the guy's going to suddenly stay healthy. I mean, he's small. Mm-hmm. He's a small corner. That's what we worried about was his ability to stay healthy, not his ability to play. And, you know, if that was your concern with him, you're right on that part, you know, because he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. So I give it a C. The Chargers, if you look at their depth chart and what they kind of need right now, I mean, running back situation, Ryan Matthews, speaking of guys who were hurt all the time, you know, they definitely could use a difference maker there. They obviously end up drafting Melvin Gordon the next year. Slow start, but he's ended up being okay for a while now. The wide receiver position was solid, I think, at this point. You know, the offensive line was aging, but still pretty solid. This was before they kind of totally fell apart on that front. Eric Weddle was still here. The corner position was really definitely where they needed help. But, you know, am I going to take Denard this high? You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know that I see it with him. There's two guys that I really like for the Chargers in terms of could be a fit for what they do and could be perfect fits for them. And the interior offensive line group is loaded, so you could obviously go in that direction. But I look at Devontae Freeman as a running back for them and a guy that can catch passes and do a lot of things. And I look at LaMarcus Joyner, and I think those two guys could make a big impact on this team. We haven't had a running back drafted yet, so I am tempted to go with Freeman. But ultimately, I really love Joyner's game. I think that he can play in the slot. He can play deep. He can do a lot of different things. You combine him with Weddle, I think, at that point, and you really have two of the best safeties in the league back there. And I know Joyner was kind of moved all over the place early in his career, and once he's been able to settle in under Wade Phillips, he's been a much, much better player. So that's the direction I'm going with. Then we come back later in the draft and try and find a corner. It just wasn't a good corner draft, you know, in the talents. If you had left Roby on the board, I was planning on taking him there with the Chargers pick.
Yeah, we'll suck it.
Yep. You forced the Chargers hand to go in another direction, and I still think they come away with a really good player in Joyner.
We have the Philadelphia Eagles next. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the roster.
Marcus Smith. Huh? They took Marcus Smith. Remember that? Some Eagles fan jokingly asked us on Twitter, they said, did Marcus Smith go number one or number two in your redraft? I said, man.
Yeah.
That was most shocking pick, right? That was like Terrell Edmonds level shocker in the first round, more so probably. I mean, most people had him in third, fourth round, and there wasn't much buzz around him going higher than that.
Right. No, that was every year there's at least one or two guys like that. I'm looking at the roster, though, and they definitely have they have the pieces to what we could see a couple years later where they become a Super Bowl team. One of them is Nick Foles, which is funny because he's on the team in 2014 before his journey around the NFL. And then as the prodigal son returns home to bring a championship to the City of Brotherly Love.
Got a great story. Brought a tear to my eye on this Wednesday.
Really
morning.
Did.
Yeah.
You know, on the defense, they have guys like Michael Kendricks. They have Fletcher Cox. Trent Cole is still here. Malcolm Jenkins is there. The secondary is definitely something that you can tell that they revamp over the next couple of years. Not, of course, the pass rush as well, getting a lot of guys in there and being able to throw everything that they threw at Brady in 2018. They get a lot of guys there as well. But because there's not really a standout corner, I mean, Denard could be, but again, you know, if one of the other corners was still here, I'd give him to the Eagles, but he's not. So instead, I'm looking at their wide receiver depth chart, and it's Jeremy Maclin and then Riley Cooper and then a bunch of nobodies. And if you want to even call Riley Cooper a nobody, that's okay. That's
I do. Me. I very much do want to call him that.
So it is Jeremy Maclin.
Who was about to hit the downside of his career.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And so the wide receivers that we got left on the board, we got Davante Adams, we got Jarvis Landry, we got Kelvin Benjamin, we got Martavis Bryant. I'm going to give him Jarvis Landry.
Nope. Jarvis!
I'm giving him Jarvis.
I thought you were going to give him Davante Adams. I was kidding about Martavis. I don't even know why he's on this list.
I am a Jarvis Landry stan, okay? I see all your tweets, all right? I see them. The hate on my boy Jarvis Landry. The yards per catch average. All right, I'm not having it. I'm not having you slander my boy just because Miami sucks at offense.
I'm torn on this because I agree with you on Jarvis Landry. He is definitely better and more versatile than people think. And when they asked him to go down the field, he has consistently made plays there. Nobody knows that better than the Steelers. But, man, I would take Davante Adams here. I think he's just more of what the type of receiver they're missing.
And I'm giving them what they need, not what they're missing.
I don't that know if that is made what sense. They need. What
I don't know
what is what they need. Sense. You confused me but for
I
a second.
I had to take the chance to stick up for my boy. So
okay, fine. Jarvis Landry goes first round in this redraft, which I think is fair.
He was my wide receiver that year.
Yeah, I know. You said this. You had him over Sammy Watkins. You're freaking crazy.
Yeah, I did.
You're crazy. I mean, so far he's been, you could make that argument, although I think Watkins' contributions have been more impactful, but you could make that argument because Watkins has been hurt. But
oh, I'm not only arguing, I'm right.
Man, I don't know. This is a big year for Watkins. Let's put it on. Let's table the discussion for now. Interior offensive line is clearly the biggest need for the Cardinals. I mean, this group is pathetic. Jonathan Cooper's here. He is never the same after that early injury. Lyle Sinline is their center. Paul Fanica is their right guard. Bobby Massey and Veldheer were their tackles. They were okay at this point in their career. I could easily address that spot. But, I mean, they actually took Daylon Buchanan here, which was a fine pick too because Darryl Washington's whole career was just one big suspension. And then Kevin Minter was okay. So it was obviously ended up being a need for them. But I can't justify it, man. This is a pretty decent linebacker group, to be honest, in this class. No, you still have guys like, obviously, Shazier because of the injury, but Kirksey and Buchanan still on the board for us. You know, they ended up taking Buchanan, obviously, like I said, but I think he could be available later in a redraft situation. Anthony Hitchens, Avery Williamson, Preston Brown. There's been a lot of starting linebackers from this class. I just don't think it's as important a position as making sure that offensive line is fortified. We got tons of good players left on the offensive line. Batonio's been hurt some, but when he's good, he's a stud for Cleveland. Gabe Jackson, Trey Turner, Weston Richburg, Brandon Linder, Matt Paradis, all three centers. It's tough for me not to want to pick a center for Arizona just because they've been so bad at center for as long as I can remember. But I really think that I got to just pick the best available interior offensive lineman, and I give Gabe Jackson a slight edge over Trey Turner just based off last season. I think both those guys are pretty comparable and both end up being really good NFL starters. But I think Gabe Jackson's got to go first round in a redraft, and I think he makes Arizona instantly a ton better on the interior. That offensive line just, it's terrible. And Gabe Jackson was my boy in this class. I love Gabe Jackson's game, and he ended up being one of those guys and it was a mid-rounder, I think, that ended up proving me really right with his play. So I'm going Gabe Jackson to the Cardinals.
Carolina ended up going.
By the way, we gave Daylon Buchanan a B grade for Arizona. I think he's been solid. I don't think he's been highly impactful, but I think he's been solid. That's my 2 cents on Daylon Buchanan.
Okay, there we go. The Panthers ended up picking Kelvin Benjamin here. And when you look at their wide receiver depth chart, you have Jericho Cotchery, Tavarius King, Marvin McNutt, nice, Tyquan Underwood, RJ Webb. Who are these people?
I don't even know. What team is this? The Panthers. So they obviously took Benjamin for a reason. So now this is where you make up for your Jarvis Landry mistake and you go Devontae Adams, right? If you give them Kelvin Benjamin again, I'm hanging up on the show. Don't do it.
I need you to apologize for calling Jarvis Landry a mistake.
I can't do it.
Apologize right now on the pod.
I can't do it. Devontae Adams should be an Eagle in this redraft. Should be.
If he was better than Landry, he would have been. Yeah, I'm giving him Devontae. Wow.
Devontae Adams with Panthers is a great fit, though.
Yeah. This wide receiver core, I feel like the 2014, maybe a little bit earlier, I haven't looked at like 2013 or anything, but I feel like 2014 was the beginning of us saying, boy, you know, Carolina could really pick up a receiver in the draft. And that's what we continued to say for the next 4 years.
Because they just kept butchering all the picks. I mean, Benjamin did have two impactful years there.
Right. I actually thought that, like, Benjamin was okay as the pick. But, like, the rest of the time, they just continued to ignore whoever was there.
Is a D grade fair for Benjamin? I mean, he was kind of impactful, but then he was also hurt, and then he also got traded. So, I mean, they obviously – and then he did nothing.
I would have given Benjamin a C.
Okay, all right, we'll give him a C. That's fair. Because, I mean, he did do something. His career has been very odd. Highly impactful rookie season, especially in the red zone. What, nothing is next year, and then came back and was pretty solid. Kind of, I mean, more inconsistent but solid, and then traded. I think that's how it's gone. I don't know, something like that. Weird player. But, yeah, Devontae Adams is a great pick for the Panthers there. Who do I got, the Patriots?
Yep.
What are you going to say about Dom Easley, man? How good was Dom Easley at Florida? Was he hurt at Florida? I'm trying to remember. What was the situation with him in Florida?
Yeah, he was hurt at Florida. He
a lot?
He got hurt. I think his sophomore year, he might have torn his ACL, and then during his senior year, non-contact, he also tore his ACL.
My goodness. Just can't get right.
Yeah, no, it sucked, man. Dom Easley was one of the most fun players that I have ever watched from Florida. Kind of had just an unreal jump off the snap. Mm-hmm. Was a monster, too. Kid, like, was this giant kid inside who just liked to eat cereal and watch cartoons, and then when you put the helmet on, he became like a monster. It was truly like Banner and the Hulk with Dom Easley. So it sucked. It sucked that his career's kind of been riddled with injuries the way that it has, because he was a really fun player and a very impactful player. I think as an interior defensive line player, I think if he would have been healthy for his whole time at Florida, and obviously the time that he was in the NFL, we'd be talking about a really good interior defensive line player still right now. But can't stay healthy, man. It sucks.
Well, yeah, agreed. The Patriots on the clock. They obviously took Dom Easley with this pick. We had to give it a D. I think he's super talented, too. Just, I mean, the dude's barely been on the field and ended up getting – was he cut from New England or traded? I can't remember. Either way. Broomed him. He didn't make much impact.
I think he was cut.
I think you might be right. I'm about to look and see how many games, because how does he compare to Jason Verrett, you know, in terms of playing time and impact and stuff like that? Because if that's the first round barometer for those guys in similar ranges, then you know, we should have similar. So yeah, he played 11 games in 14, 11 in 2015. Didn't see the field much though. I mean, seven and nine total tackles those years. Then in 16, he played, 16 games for the Rams. That was his first full season. 3.5 sacks, very much a part-time player, 35 tackles. So he was, you know, he was solid in that role. I think they were excited about him for 17 and then missed the entire year. So he's back this year, but he's going to be behind Sue and Brockers and Donald. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure he'll see the field at all. Good news is he should stay healthy, though. But easily, you know, I think, again, maybe his career takes a dramatic turn and all of a sudden he stays healthy, but it just seems unlikely at this point. The Patriots needed defensive line help. I think they felt like a pass rusher especially, which is kind of weird. You know, easily had kind of that penetrating upfield type, and that's not really the kind of player that they've gone for over the years. So he added something very different to that front. You know, they had a very aging group up front. Tommy Kelly and Vince Wilfork were on the inside. Rob Ninkovich played a lot on the edge. Not much depth behind those guys. So it was definitely a need there. And again, multiple fronts, guys that can do a lot of different things. To me, I think that, you know, I could easily go there, or you could go center for New England. Ryan Wendell was the guy here, you know, good player, but you know, they kind of needed a center. And eventually, was it this draft or next draft, they took David Andrews late. Or undrafted might have been, and he ended up being their guy at center. So I think they eventually fill that hole. I'm tempted to go center just because there's so many good interior offensive linemen still on the board. I want to see these guys come off the board. I just think Stephon Tuitt and what he can do. I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league. I mean, Tuitt is for real. You know, somebody said this to me, and I totally agree with it. He could be a penetrating three technique for a team, or he can play to, or he can two gap. And there's not a lot of guys with that versatility. I mean, he's a freakish athlete. He's a super high character guy. He can play inside. He can play on. He's even rushed off the edge. He's got some legit bend. You know, I don't think the Steelers have always brought him along, have always utilized him as best as he could be utilized, because they run a lot of stunts and twists. I also think he was more raw as a pass rusher coming out than, you know, it was a little frustrating how far he had to go in terms of learning moves, but his tools are unbelievable. And I think he ends up in a great spot if he goes to New England. So, you know, he had 7 sacks a year ago for an interior guy. He has struggled with like minor injuries over the years, but I still think he's a guy that, I mean, I don't know. He's clearly a top 32 player from this class for me, so he deserves to go in the first round.
The 49ers, you have Jimmy Ward as a D. Is Jimmy Ward really a D?
As in, should he be an F? Or
do you has mean he really been that terrible? I guess I haven't paid attention.
He just has done nothing. Like, I mean, he's been completely unimpactful. It took him a while to earn a starting spot. He was really shaky out of the gate, I know, as a rookie. You know, even trying to see over the years, he's 0 starts as a rookie, 8 starts the next year, but he played 16 games, so he started half the season. 2016, he ended up getting hurt. He had 10 starts in that year. And then last year, he played in 7 games and was hurt, had 6 starts. I mean, his career, he's got 2 total interceptions. You know, that doesn't tell
and
you anything.
Yeah, I guess so.
He just hasn't made much of an impact for a
didn't realize that Jimmy Ward was that bad. All right, so we're looking
he's
at the 49ers.
He's also been moved around. A lot of different coaches, and he played nickel corner. He played corner for the first couple of years. So it's probably not all his fault. Again, maybe we see. But last year, I thought if he can't be the single high guy here for that, you know, it's a Seattle Seahawks-type defense, they needed a guy that could be that type of role, and I just didn't feel like he captured any role in that defense. And that secondary was bad, so if you can't establish yourself as a for sure starter in that group, I mean, yikes. So
I don't know. In 2014, this was the 49ers linebacker core. Ahmad Brooks, Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Alden Smith.
Jeez. Should have won a
Incredible.
Super Bowl.
Incredible.
Crazy. Is Justin Smith still there, or is that he retired?
Yes. Justin Smith was last year. He was here at that time.
And that defense,
Ray McDonald
was so good.
The other DN, and then their safeties were Anthony and Eric Reed.
Okay, Ward was so they drafted good. Ward to be a corner. Yeah, I mean, their defense was good. That's the thing, people forget their defense was legit good. But what about that interior O line? Because there's a lot of good interior offensive linemen still on our board.
And so the interior O line is Mike Iupati, Daniel Kilgore, and Alex Boone.
Okay, so Boone had the back injuries come up shortly after this, probably. Kilgore's never been above average. So center could definitely be needed, and there's all the top centers on the board.
I was looking at either Linder or Betonio. I wasn't sure which one was probably a better fit for them. But if Kilgore is the weak link, then it'd probably be Linder, right?
Betonio plays guard, played tackle in college, so there's some versatility there. I think the best two centers are probably Paradise and Linder. I might go Paradise, but some people really like Linder too.
Linder's pretty good.
Yeah, Linder's pretty good. And
I'm gonna go with Linder.
He got hurt that 1 year, but he came back and still been a really good player. So yeah, Linder. And they ended up, I think they end up taking Marcus Martin in this draft, I want to say. Later, like a couple rounds from now, the 49ers took a center and he just didn't work out at all. I think he got hurt, or maybe he was hurt when they drafted him. This was when Trent Brown
was
only
Marcus Martin, third round.
Yeah, he was only drafted injured guys at this point, remember?
Wow, Billy Turner. Billy Turner went third round. Okay.
Oh, boy. How'd that pick turn out?
Miami Dolphins.
I remember thinking, like, oh, Billy Turner, like, I feel like he would be a good day 3 developmental guy, and then he went that early. I was like, oh, boy, Billy Turner. Team player. It's funny how that happens sometimes. So yeah, I think Linder's a good pick for the 49ers. I think that's a nice pickup. Denver Broncos, man, this is funny. They end up coming away with Matt Paradise. Late in the draft, I want to say. I can't remember exactly where they picked him up and where they drafted him, but he's been an absolute stud for them. They clearly needed a center. Manny Ramirez was aging and was their center at this point. They also have terrible guard play. Luis Vasquez, Ben Garland, they didn't really have any guard options, to be honest, on this team. Ryan Clady was still here. This was before the beginning of the end with his injury history. Wide receiver core is great. Defensive line group, for the most part, is pretty good. Linebacker group, they need somebody to plug in next to Danny Trevathan, but I don't know. I just think I look across this team and look at the positions in need, and they feel pretty good at most spots. Obviously, this is where they took Bradley Roby. Chris Harris was about to prove himself to the world at this point. The running back spot, Monty Ball, they hoped was going to be the guy. Hillman, C.J. Anderson was there. Again, I feel bad. We're two picks here from the end, and it feels like Devontae Freeman's not going to go in the first round. That just feels so wrong to me. But they have needs in the interior offensive line. I mean, their interior offensive line's terrible, and right now that's the most loaded position on the group on the board. So, man, I think I'm going to go with them taking Paradise here. He was kind of banged up last year, I think, but I think he's the best player on the board for what they need at center. I'm going to stick with – Paradise ends up on the same team just a couple rounds earlier. I can't remember what pick they took him with, but he ends up in Denver just a couple rounds earlier. He was the sixth round pick. I just looked. So here we go with the Vikings. I gave Bradley Roby an A.
So earlier in the draft, they took in reality, they took Anthony Barr, and here they took Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
But in this draft, we have them taking Mike Evans instead of Anthony Barr. And does Deion Buchanan fit what they do, or does it have to be Kirksey? Because they're not really running the same kind of thing that Arizona does that makes Buchanan successful.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't take Buchanan for sure. I mean, not to do what Anthony Barr does. I don't think that there's a good fit on the linebacking core for what Barr does. What's their interior offensive line look like? What's their running back's position look like?
Charlie Johnson, John Sullivan, Brandon Fusco.
Oh my. Sullivan is aging but still good. Fusco is good, but I don't even know who the other guy is. So that could be a legit need for them. What's the running back situation?
Then what'd you say?
Who's their running backs?
Adrian Peterson, Matt Asiata.
Oh, Peterson's still there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, interior O-line could be a need. What's the tackle situation? That could be a need.
They had Phil Lode Holt and Matt Khalil.
Oh boy. Well, they thought at the time, then Lode Holt ended up retiring right after that, I think. And
so Betonio seems to be the guy, huh?
I think Trey Turner's better than Betonio, but your call. Betonio?
Yep.
All right. Joel Betonio. And we got the run on offensive lineman right there at the end. Linder, Paradise, and Joel Betonio come off the board. There you have it. Your first round 2014 mock draft redraft. Khalil Mack goes to the Houston Texans, Aaron Donald to the Rams, Jimmy Garoppolo to the Jags, Derek Carr to the Bills, Jadeveon Clowney to the Raiders, Jake Matthews to the Falcons, OBJ to the Bucks, Zach Martin to the Browns, Mike Evans to the Vikings, Taylor Lewan to the Lions, Morgan Moses to the Titans, DeMarcus Lawrence to the Giants, Allen Robinson to the Rams, Kyle Fuller to the Bears, Talvin Smith to the Steelers, D. Ford to the Cowboys, C.J. Mosley to the Ravens, Jason Verrett to the Jets, Andrew Norwell to the Dolphins, Anthony Barr to the Saints, Brandon Cooks to the Packers, the Browns, instead of taking Johnny Manziel, take Bradley Roby, the Chiefs take Sammy Watkins, and a little foreshadowing. The Bengals end up with Clinton Dix. The Chargers end up with LaMarcus Joyner. The Eagles take Jarvis Landry instead of Marcus Smith. You're welcome. Arizona Cardinals take Gabe Jackson. Carolina Panthers get Devontae Adams. Patriots get Stephon Tuitt. 49ers get Brandon Linder. Broncos get Matt Paradis. And Vikings take Joel Betonio. I think the best players left on the board, we mentioned Buchanan and Kirksey, good players. Denard, good player. Charles Leno, Juwan James, good players. Devontae Freeman, Trey Turner, Weston Richburg, Timmy Jernigan, probably the four best players that didn't get drafted in the first in this redraft. I think it's probably fair to say. And we were doing it need-based, too. This doesn't mean these are the top 32 guys from the class. We were looking at needs from there and evaluating things like that, too. You know, so I think there's a lot to look at, but those are probably the guys that – we just don't love running backs in the first round, man. I think that's just all there is to it. Looking back,
Devonta Freeman's really good. Really good. Yeah. But he's a running back.
He is a stud, no doubt about it. And I probably would have taken, you know, and if, I don't know. Well, when we're doing this like this, we're looking at top needs and most important positions and just not running back. So there you go. 2015 NFL or 14 NFL mock draft redraft. And then to next week, because we're taking off Thursday, Friday, as we told you guys earlier in the week. No pod on Thursday or Friday, but next week we're going to kick things off with 2015 redraft. We're going to look at that pretty in depth. Again, go pick by pick, and then maybe have a pod on Thursday where we kind of break down, okay, what were the grades? Who were the best teams from this class? We re-look back at the class and see who the best draft classes were and things like that for it. Go a little more in depth. So, as always, thank you guys so much for listening, and keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.